through conversation with me. And I hope it's a blessing to all of you today that you're able to walk away with a better understanding of your brothers and sisters in the community, but also who Jesus is, and to know that the Jesus who was transforming lives 2,000 years ago continues to do the same today, continues to change lives. So, and he sure did for our three guests today. So without further ado, I want to introduce our first guest that I've invited. He's been at Hock One for more than 5 years, started attending around the time that I started at Hock One. And his day job, he's a technical lead engineer at Google. He also serves at Hock One as a youth leader for high schoolers. And he's currently serving as our young adult leader as well. And he's single, and he's a nice guy. His name is Sam Liu. So let's invite Sam to come up. So Sam, thanks for coming to share a bit about your journey. I'm very excited because I know we had similar backgrounds growing up. Our dads were senior figures at church, and you kind of grew up coming to church, going to the Sunday school programs, but your faith only came to reality around your college years. So yeah, tell us a bit about your journey through that.
Yeah, thank you, Ben, for the kind introduction. And good morning, everyone. So yeah, as Ben mentioned, I grew up in the local Chinese church my dad founded. So I would go to Sunday school. I'd tag along with my dad to, you know, the congregation worship, singing classic hymns, acting in the Chinese New Year plays or skits. So, you know, throughout my childhood, anytime I faced any struggle or whatever I was facing, my dad always told me, Samuel, pray before the Lord, trust in Jesus, believe in him, because he loves you. So while I believe in my dad, a lot of my friends say I'm very gullible. I did not truly understand what believing in Jesus really meant. So it wasn't until, I think, high school when the topic of baptism was sort of brought forth to our youth group. And so my friends and I, we got tested by a few of the leaders in our church. My best friend passed with flying colors. Well, you can just guess that I failed. I still remember to this day Uncle Charlie coming to me and telling me the reason why. He said, I did not see a transformation in you. So I similarly didn't understand what he meant. Personally, honestly, I was sort of focused on the peer pressure of being baptized as well as, you know, being my dad's son. On the other hand, individually for me, you know, I thought, you know, I didn't have a spiritual high, I wasn't good enough, I didn't do enough. Later on, I will find out that, you know, being part of a local Asian community, that, you know, my parents like to talk, or more so complain, and I think they talked about how misbehaving I was at home. I think the words were chalky, or children's. And I'll be honest, I took my family for granted. So I think I continued going to church, and a year later, we were organizing for church retreat. And so a family friend, Uncle Timothy, was invited as a guest speaker. And he came to me beforehand asking me, Samuel, do you want to get baptized? And, you know, I told him, you know, I don't think I'm ready. You know, I failed last year. And so he spent that night going through several Bible passages. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, Romans 3, I think, 21 to 25, I recall, he really emphasized that it was by God's grace, through our faith, that we are saved. And the righteousness from salvation comes from our belief in Jesus Christ and our belief that he died on the cross for our sins.
Oh. So, I think after we read through those verses and ended that night in prayer, I think God really spoke to me. And that was the moment I recognized You know, I am a sinner. I need Jesus. And that was when that seed was laid in my heart and I decided to get baptized.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. You mentioned in your testimony at one point, you kind of refused to go to church. And what was that like? Like, how did you navigate that with your dad? Like, him being a leader at church and, like, for you personally, like, what were you doing on Sunday morning? Just sleeping in?
Oh, my. I think there's a little bit of context there. So I think personally, I think a lot of the youth here can relate. Going into my junior year, the latter half of high school was one of the toughest periods of my adolescence. Growing up, I think my dad was always telling me how important it is to work hard. I was in, you know, Asian community. I had a results-oriented mom who at the time did not acknowledge any college besides the Ivies plus MIT or Stanford. So I was faced with tremendous pressure. I was overloading on APs, stress over SATs, keeping up with club activities. And so I was overwhelmed where I was pulling an all-nighter, like at least once a week. I was just telling Auntie Janet and Angela how, just earlier, a few days ago, how I can blame that for my relatively short height. So youth, don't follow my footsteps. But yeah, I can say that the struggle was real. And so God did, out of my not within my expectations, did reward me for my hard work. I entered my senior year as valedictorian. But on the other hand, I think because of that and many other factors, the pride started to seep in. And so, like, I had from the church, my family, my friends, my peers, my teachers, this sky-high expectations. So early decision results came in. Can't say I wasn't disappointed. Cornell was my dream school. And then, you know, you could imagine or guess that the rest of the results from college started flooding in. And I can say that I got zero. I didn't get into any. I got rejected or waitlisted to every single one of my reach or target schools. I got into one school in New Jersey, my public school, Rutgers University. And so at that moment, you know, I was crushed, right? And that was the moment where I was so discouraged that I didn't want to go to church. I told my parents, you know, I don't want to go to church retreat this year. And so I, even though I continued working hard, I was, you know, growing. I had very little hope. I was growing very cynical. But because of this period or this experience, I think God was revealing the pride in my heart and kind of telling me that, you know, hey, I'm the one to lay down your path. And so it was probably, I think, my car ride home from Pittsburgh, where my dad and I went to attend a waitlist information session. Maybe it was the six-hour ride, just talking to my dad, praying, where I finally was able to sort of let go in my heart. And so I said, you know, I was able to face God and say, God, you are good. You love me. You have a plan for me. And so I think that was the turning point, that I was able to go home, go back to church, you know, pray with my family, be fully committed to going to Rutgers. And, you know, I think God responded to that faithfulness. Like, while I was sitting in school one day in high school, my mom actually gave my dad a reminder saying, hey, call Carnegie Mellon. And so my dad took a break, last minute, calling them. The admissions officer actually gave us his contact information only because he was late for that information session that we attended. So he asked, you know, what are the chances? Are there any opportunities? And so the officer said, I'm sorry, everything's locked in. There's zero chance. My dad thanked him and reiterated my interest. Less than an hour later, my dad gets a call, and the admissions officer says, someone just dropped out. And because you called me, your son was the first person to come into my mind. Do you want this spot? So you could just imagine, right, that how a seemingly hopeless six-hour trip, a last-ditch effort call that I was able to get accepted out of hundreds, if not thousands, of waitlist candidates. And so when I look back on my high school journey, I can only say that Jesus was molding me, disciplining me, and ultimately staying faithful to me the entire time, even when I did not deserve it.
Yeah, wow, thanks, Sam. I really like how you say that, like God was faithful even in our unfaithfulness. You mentioned as well, like, and you've told me personally, like at college you faced some hardship, right? And what was that like for you, like the college experience, the temptations, and you know, was it hard to get plugged into a church fellowship at that time? Like, just talk to me about that.
So, you know, it wasn't hard at all. I think many colleges will have like the campus fellowships, and they'll kind of plug you into a church community. And so at the time I joined Asian Christian Fellowship. But, you know, personally for me, I had this challenge. You could say that despite my high school experience, that was only my first step in my faith journey. And so when I went to college, I was fully committed to, you know, studying a double major, computer science and business. You could imagine that I was overloading 60 plus units per semester. There was no overlap whatsoever. And I think one part of my Christian life that I struggled with was control. Like, I always wanted to be in control. And because of that, I got into this vicious cycle where I was just drowning in work, drowning in this stress, and to the point where, you know, I started missing out, skipping church or missing out on fellowships. And I think it took me some time. I praise God that he led me to this. I think figuratively speaking, he needed to slap me in the face a few times to recognize that, you know, I am broken, and I needed to focus on building the Lord's kingdom and not my own, not Sam's kingdom. And I think God placed a dear friend or brother of mine from Asian Christian Fellowship, Derek. You know, he saw, you know, how stressed I was. He could sympathize with me. He was studying CS with me. And so instead of saying, you know, Sam's a bad Christian, right? Or instead of ignoring me, he came to me and said, Sam, I know you're so busy. How about doing one-on-one discipleship with me? And he's like, I know you're so busy you can't even make fellowship. So let's do this 10 to 15 minutes. You name the day, you name the time. Every single week, I will make the time for you. Like, how amazing is that? And so that's how it started. We came together, met up, started either, you know, sometimes we prayed, sometimes we read Bible passages. I still remember we were struggling through Paul's writings in Romans on the law. But I think the one passage that really spoke to me at that time was Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Where it says, Paul wrote, do not be anxious in anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I think that verse really spoke to me. And because of that experience, because of that moment, I was able to finally submit to God. I learned to, you know, say, everything that's out of my control, I give to you, Lord. You know, my success, even my failures, I give to you, Lord, to glorify you. And so the latter half of my college years was filled with so much more joy. Even though I continued to struggle in my class, I was failing my senior year elective that I almost couldn't graduate. I was struggling to even find a full-time job. But I was able to find that joy and that peace, being able to, knowing that, you know, God is my rock. I'm able to lean on him.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing how God orchestrates all things behind the scenes and brings people like Derek into your life. One question I have for you, Sam, is like, I know you're quite busy with your work, but you're so committed to serving. And ever since you've been attending Hoc One, like, you haven't stopped serving. Like, you're always, you know, every Friday night, youth ministry, Thursday night, young adult fellowship. And even when you were in Texas in a different time zone, sometimes it was like 12, 1, 2 a.m., you'll be like discipling youths, you'll be talking to youth group people. What is it about serving that makes you, you know, commit your time, your energy?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think from my own experience, right, I can't speak enough how I think the church community is our family as Christians. Like growing up, like all the uncles and aunts in the church constantly praying for me, even in college, my brothers and sisters, even bringing up my struggles without telling me to their own study groups or whatnot and asking them to pray for me, right? For me, I think I realized towards the end of my college years that I was more on the receiving end. And to, you know, really truly build the Lord's kingdom, I needed to serve. And so I think that moment, I think after that experience, I told myself, you know, whatever opportunity comes, you know, whether I'm inadequate or not, I will go for it. So I still remember 6 months in after joining Hoc One, Ben comes to me asking me if I wanted to, you know, help out with the youth fellowship. And to be quite honest, I was saying, you know, I thought I'm totally inadequate. But I prayed about it. I spoke to Ben about it, and I told God in my prayers, if this is truly what you want me to do, lead me there. And you know, even though I don't deserve it, even though I like certainly not the best candidate for this, Lord, you will make things right. And I think that's sort of the impetus or kind of what drove me to and drives me today to continue to serve.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for all your years of faithful service and hope that you can continue to serve. It's been really wonderful seeing your journey as coming to Hoc One and then serving. What are some ways that we can pray for you as a community?
I did not prepare for this one. I guess just
apart from your singleness.
Thank you, Ben, again. I think just pray for continued spiritual encouragement throughout the years. I think most of us can speak from experience as Christians that we'll have bouts of, you know, spiritual dryness or lows. And I think just encouragement during those times to continue to balance my life and make God truly my priority.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks, Sam. Let me pray for you, and then let me pray. Father God, we thank you for Sam. We thank you that you have led him to this community. We thank you that all throughout his life, through his father, through his local church, you have orchestrated all things for your glory and for your purpose, that we're able to see Sam continue to serve you so faithfully in the local church, through youth ministry and young adult ministry. Lord, I just pray that in those times where he feels dry and in those times where he feels doubt, Lord, may you come and fill him with your spirit. May you continue to fan the flame in his heart, and so that he can continue to be passionate, continue to strive more and more and build your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we thank you for our brother Sam. We pray that you bless him and that you continue to pour out your grace upon grace in his life. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, Sam. Let's give Sam a... Our second guest that I've invited today is Bing. Doesn't have an English name, so we'll call her Ice. She's been attending Hock One since 2013. She's also a mother of two children who are in our youth group, Ella and Anne. And she works in biotech at Genentech. She's part of TNT Fellowship at our church. And one thing about her is that she's very low-key, but she's a semi-pro marathon runner, all right? So she doesn't like to mention it too much, but I'll mention it. So without further ado, let's invite Bing up as she shares her faith journey. Thank you, Bing, for accepting my invitation to come and share a little bit about your faith. Your journey is a bit different to some of us here, like we're born here or in other places, but you were born in China. And so I wanted to ask you, like, what was that experience like, and what was your interactions with, like, Christianity in China, and what led you to the church, and what was your first encounters with Christians like?
First, thank you for the kind introduction. Yeah, I grew up in China, like a lot of you here. So I did not encounter so much of Christianity in China. It's mostly started here in the United States. Many of you probably have similar experience, right? You get invited to a fellowship, and then they try to convert you. And then if you don't, they move on to the next. And then I become like cynical, skeptical. So until like one day I met this one couple who are similar background as me. They look totally like normal. So I become friend with them. And they're Christians. So we became friends first, right? And then I started to open up and, you know, try to understand where they came from, right? And then I got baptized in 2008 in the same church as they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
You mentioned in your testimony to me that when you got baptized, like, not long after, for like 10 years, you were lukewarm. Just describe that experience a bit, and what was the turning point for you?
I think I got baptized, right? At that time when I got baptized, I admit fully I'm a sinner, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. But that's about it, right? Jesus was an abstract concept in my mind. I did not feel any power. I didn't understand Christianity, to be honest. So I went on with life, you know, still pursuing like things most people are pursuing, and you know, when you are not fully committed to God, when your heart is not fully committed to God, you cling to something else, right? Your attention is kind of diverted. And then whatever that thing is, eventually it will fail you. Like, it took 10 years for me to realize that whatever that thing I was pursuing failed me, right? So I was at the point, it's like the existence, my my default state is like restless, you know, and easily get annoyed, try to control people, try to control the situation. So, and also like looking for approval from mortals, basically. And then I was like, really, is this what life is about? You know, it doesn't feel good. I mean, it's really opposite as what's promised in the Bible. So, and then it hit me, right? I am the prodigal son. Like, I have a loving and caring father, our creator, but I try to do his job by putting all this burden on myself, right? That's not my job. My job is to know him, to obey him, and, you know, to achieve the a full communion with him. So I think at that point I realized, you know, I need, I mean, like I mentioned, I'm like the prodigal son. I turned back, so. Yeah,
it's often, I guess, when we have that realization that something's not right, you know, we can't sit on the fence anymore. What encouragement would you give to those who are listening or tuning in? Like, you know, because there's seasons of life where we do feel lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
And I know personally for you, like, spiritual disciplines is a big thing. As a marathon runner, right? You have to be pretty disciplined to do that. So, talk to us a little bit about that. What encouragement would you give to those who are currently struggling, actually, or in their seasons of dryness?
I mean, so when that happened, right, that's about 4 years ago, I was like, okay, the first step, I need to know God. I need to understand what God said, what God wants, right? I mean, because I'm a scientist, I respect knowledge and facts. So then what should I do, right? So like you said, training, right? I'm a runner. So when you start training, you just throw yourself in like endless miles. So that's what I did with a Bible study. So for a couple of months, I started reading the Bible like 3 to 4 hours a day. I mean, at the beginning, I did not understand, like, most of it. But I just, you know, staring at it for 3 and 4 hours. But I decided I would trust God. So regardless, I just cling to it, to him, right? And then slowly the Bible words start to make sense to me. And so, you know, that encouraged me to read more and more. My reading becomes more efficient, I can say, right? I don't need like 3-4 hours a day anymore. But that's a start I think I needed. Otherwise, I wouldn't get started. So on the side, I also read some Christianity books like Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis and The Cost of Discipleship. So those kind of, in the plainer words, to help me understand the Christianity of theology. And, I mean, those are classic books, right? Like, everybody read it, I guess. So also there are a lot of, like, contemporary books. The authors, like Timothy Keller, Mark Comer, John Ortberg and Peter Scazzaro, on different topics, right? They share their personal journey, their struggle, the victory they achieved, right? So even though those are very people with very different background as myself, but the sins and the struggles are the same. So I find those very relatable and practical. So I think just as a scientist, you know, reading a lot of books, for me, it's I have to understand things first, right? Honestly, I don't have that switch like sudden switch point, like I suddenly start to understand God. It's not the case for me. I think I learn about God based on how much I know about him.
Yeah, that's really good. Like I remember like A.W. Tozer talks about the knowledge of God, like how as our knowledge increases, our love for God increases. And that's so important. I'm going to go off script and ask you a personal question. What's it like being a mother to Ella and Anne? And I know Anne's going off to college this year. If you had a few words to share right now, like if you want to discipline Anne or say something, you can just take this time and just share these final words with Anne.
I mean, it's a blessing to have those two, and also a blessing for them to grow up at this church, right? Like Sam mentioned, I feel like we have been the receiver of the love of the aunties and, you know, the whole church. So I really have nothing to complain about them. I think they inspire me as well, because their love are pure.
Yeah, that's right. The innocence of children and the innocence of our faith, another quick question before I ask how we can pray for you is, how did you end up attending our English ministry? I know you've been at our church for quite some time. It's been lovely to see your attendance and fellowship here. But yeah, just talk us through that. How did you end up here in the English ministry?
So we moved here from Connecticut in 2013. We had an old church member who is a friend with Emily, Auntie Emily here. So she recommended us. So we went directly to this church. We loved it. We stayed. So originally I was attending the Chinese part. But since my kids are growing, you know, I kind of transitioned to English and stayed here.
It's lovely to have you with us. What are some ways as a community we can pray for you going forward?
I think similar as Sam's, right? That's probably the core, the foundation of each Christian. Just like keep, you know, regardless of how you feel, God is near or God is away. Just have that trust in him, you know, regardless, just cling to him and strive for true humility.
Yeah, well, thank you, Bing. I want to pray for you, and we'll finish off. Father God, we thank you for Bing, and we thank you for her attendance and faithfulness here at Hock One. We thank you that all throughout her life, you have led her and her children. And Lord, we just thank you for the work that you've done in her life. We thank you for the people that you have placed in her life. We thank you for the books that she has read and that has greatly impacted her. Lord, we pray that she continues to run this spiritual race for you, that she will lay aside every weight of sin and strive towards the goal, Christ Jesus. Lord, in her doubts, in her moments of fear and uncertainty, Lord, we ask for an overwhelming sense of your presence to be in her life and to just really impact her so that she can continue to be a kingdom builder here on earth. Lord, we thank you and we give you all the glory for Bing's life and testimony. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, Bing. Our last guest today is one of our college students who grew up coming to Home of Christ since middle school. He's currently studying business at the University of Michigan, and he's faithfully served at our church in youth ministry. He launched our first college fellowship during summer break. And one thing that Kevin is thinking and praying about in this season of life is that he wants to go into full-time ministry right after college. He's open to wherever God calls him, and hopefully that's here at Hock One in a couple of years that we can and put him on board, and he can work for me. Let's give him a warm welcome, Kevin Pham.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, Kevin, tell us a bit about your childhood growing up, like your earliest memories of the faith.
Right, so I wasn't immediately like growing up in a Christian family, my mom would occasionally drag me to church, like down the street in Foster City, but like I didn't really listen to anything. I just sat on a beanbag and did my own thing. And like the gospel was preached to me, but like I didn't really hear it. And then we moved down here to Palo Alto, and I knew Ryan Lee from elementary school, and his family invited us to church. And I was like, all right. I came here for a year, and I still like heard the gospel, but you know, I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't really hear the gospel, you know, like it was preached, but I didn't hear it.
So like when it was preached and you didn't hear it, like was it something that you consciously just refused, or you were just too busy playing games, or like what was that experience like?
I think it was more like I didn't like outright reject it, right? Like there wasn't a point in time where I'm just like I hate God, you know, but it was, yeah, like distraction. There's definitely some distraction and like some indifference as well. Like it's like, all right, whatever, you know. Yeah. Like kind of like the words didn't sink in when it was preached to me.
You say in your testimony that there was a turning point during middle school. Do you want to share a bit about that and looking back at that experience now as a college student? Like, how did that experience change you?
Yeah, so my dad got baptized Easter of my sixth grade year. And then that summer, my mom left my dad for another man. And that was, like, a huge shock to me. Like, I was not expecting that. And it crushed me as well. Like, mainly because, I'm not going to get into all the details because of time, but, like, there was definitely some, like emotional, like, manipulation there. And I felt especially guilty because before she did, she asked me, like, hey, like, if I were to divorce your dad, like, would I have your permission? And I said yes. And so, yeah, like, when I realized what had happened, that had definitely crushed me. And that's something I still feel today, honestly. Like, there's only, like, areas of my life that I don't even know about that still affects me. But, yeah, that was a turning point because, like, the divorce happened. Like, my family life just shambles. And I was a pretty prideful guy. Like, I was placing my worth in things that had nothing to do with God. I was a pretty smart kid. I think I still am pretty smart. You know, like, I was, like, getting good grades, like, playing baseball. I was pretty good at baseball. Had friends. You know, like, what more could an 11-year-old kid want, right? Like, you know, like, I had the life. But after the divorce, it was like, all right, I could go to school and, like, get an A on a test. I could play really well in a baseball game, and I could, I could like have fun with my friends and come home, and that wouldn't change anything. You know, like there's still no rest in my soul, and so I realized that.
Yeah. It's when Kevin mentioned like he's pretty good at baseball. I remember in his early years, he invited Ruth and I to watch a baseball game, and he just really wanted to impress us by hitting a home run. But the result was he just got striked out. So, but for Ruth and I, it was, you know, it was a free game. We kind of enjoyed ourselves and had a good chat with Kevin. Would you say like you shared about a bit about your family, and I know that's, thank you for sharing that. And I know that, you know, you're going through healing and that's something that you're continuing to work through. And I know that through different seasons, like that's been really tough on you. Would you say that really solidified your faith, or would you say it was like kind of later on something else happened that solidified your faith in Jesus?
I think that was a launch pad to my faith because, you know, I'd been going to church for like a year up to that point, and, you know, the whole thing was like, I go to church, therefore I'm a Christian, right? And so I'd identify as Christian to people, but, you know, honestly speaking, I did not know the Lord, I did not believe in the gospel, you know? So I was just like, just empty words, you know? But after that, like a little bit after, I came to church and like it was just like I was just gone, like I was out of it, you know. And usually, like for those of you in our youth group, like back when, you know, like before COVID, like we like come to youth group on Friday nights and we like sometimes like play some games, right? Like get the energy out, and then we'll teach you the Bible, you know, so that we actually listen. But that week we just jumped straight into a YouTube sermon. So it was different. And this guy, Paul Washer, if you haven't heard him, listen to him. He's a really good preacher. This guy just like starts preaching the gospel, and I felt like his words, I think they were preached in 2004, but they're directed at me, because it was like, yeah, like you call yourself a Christian, but what does your life look like? Like, do you know the Lord? You know, like he preached out of Matthew 7, like many will say to me, like, Lord, Lord, did I not do this, did I not do that? But he will say, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was the first time I actually heard the gospel, because, you know, like, God just put it on my heart that night. He just broke anything left within me that was like you're a good person, you know, like you're fine. And I became convinced that night that God was a holy God, and that I'm a wretched sinner, and I need grace. I need forgiveness for my sins, and that's the only provision for that is through Christ. And so I like just broke down crying, and I confessed, like, Lord, you know, like I haven't been living for you, but man, I want to, you know, like I'm sorry that I'm a sinner, but you know, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Yeah. You know, that still doesn't make sense to me, yeah, that he would do that. So
yeah, that's amazing grace, huh? I've had people come up to me and say, like, Kevin's like giving up everything, you know, like he could be doing so well in his corporate career, like why would he consider going to ministry? And just quickly, like, why on earth would you want to become a pastor, man? Like, I've gotten much older in the last 5 years.
You know, there was a point in my life where I was reflecting on what I wanted to do. And this is after I'd already gotten into Michigan as a business major. Go Blue, by the way. There was a point in my life where I was reflecting on that. And I realized, like, hey, like, you know, business is cool. Like, I'm decent at it. But like, I don't know if I want to do this for even 5 years. And then that was kind of a, like, that was quite the predicament in the moment, because it was like, you know, I'm going to college for 4 years for this, you know, so I was like, oh shoot, you know? But then I was just thinking about it, and I quickly realized, like, hey, you know, like, look at me. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and the gospel is of first importance. And then that's when I realized that I don't think I could live with myself if I did anything else, you know, because seeing how much I need the gospel helps me see how much everyone here needs the gospel. Like, even saved people still need the gospel. Like, we still need to hear it. We still need to rejoice in it. But I think that just helped me to see, like, man, like, the same gospel that I needed and the same gospel that saved me, the same gospel that will save other people and that other people need. And so, like, what else would I want to use my life for than to do that?
Yeah, yeah. And I know you're currently thinking through that, talking to your parents about that. What are some ways we can pray for you going forward?
That opportunities would come for both, like, conversations with my parents, but also like just like windows of opportunity for seminary and for service as well.
Oh, so there's, like, an opportunity here.
Right.
Yeah. So we won't pray for that.
I mean, also like opportunities for seminary too. So say like seminary and then eventually like a full-time call. And then I guess like wisdom to go with that, you know, wisdom to handle that, wisdom to, you know, seek the Lord and to follow him. And, you know, for me, like in the immediate, that means going back to Michigan and helping lead small groups there. So we started at like maybe like 5 to 7 people. We've grown to like 20 now. Mm. And it'll be where every week, like someone brings a new guy who's not a believer. And so I'll be, you know, getting lunch with them and evangelizing them pretty much every week. And so I just want to mention that because, like, I would love you guys to pray for that, that campus ministry in Michigan would be fruitful and that we would see a lot of people know the Lord.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let me pray for you, and then we'll end it. Father God, we thank you for Kevin's life and testimony. We thank you that despite his family, the hardships and the pain that he has gone through, in that area, Lord, that you bring healing, that you bring a promise to his life. Lord, as he grapples with the next season of his life, finishing at University of Michigan and thinking through seminary and full-time ministry, Lord, we ask that you pave the way for him, that each and every step of the way, he can see your faithfulness and he can see your promise. And Lord, I pray that you fill him with power and courage as he goes back to campus, as he continues with his small groups and campus ministry, that many will come to know the Lord Jesus through his life and through his preaching of the gospel. Lord, we thank you for Kevin. We have asked that you open doors for him and windows of opportunity, Lord, so that he can see your grace and mercy. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, thank you, Kevin. Well, I want to just thank our three guests today. I know it's not easy. Their stories were unique and all different. But what's interesting is that their story is part of a larger story, which is about the main character, God. God, in the beginning of time, created the universe and everything in it to reflect his own goodness. But it was us who rebelled in our wickedness and our sinfulness, and we turned it upside down, causing us to be separated from God. But by his mercy and his favor towards us, just at the right moment in history, he comes in the flesh, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. He roamed here bringing healing and transformation. And ultimately, he laid his life down so that you and I can have life and we can be reconciled to God. So this is a story we Christians believe in. And it's an unfolding story because one day, as Christians, we believe that Jesus will come again in all his triumph and in all his glory and to restore the goodness of God to all of creation. And the good news is all of us can be part of that story. All of us are invited to this great banquet. We don't have to be of certain skin color. We don't have to be educated or even be religious. This is an invitation that is free for all. And you and I can receive it today simply by stepping out in faith and saying, yes, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for reconciling me to yourself. Come into my heart. And so if any of you, even though you've grown up at church or for those who are tuning in for the first time, if you're touched by that message, I want to end our service by giving you an opportunity to respond. So bow your heads with me and say in your heart, Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. And by faith, I receive this free gift of salvation. I follow you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for all that you have done in Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for my every sin. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Amen. Now, if any of you are thinking through the faith, you're touched by the conversations that we had today, feel free to talk to our guests today or feel free to talk to me after the service. But it's my prayer and hope that all of you can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you have a relationship with him, it will alter the course of your life for all of eternity. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the unique and individual stories that we heard today. We thank you for Sam, for Bing, for Kevin, and the way that you've been impacting their lives, the way you've been orchestrating all things for your glory. Lord, we thank you for all the stories that we have in this room. All of us come from different backgrounds, with different past. Some of us are still struggling. Some of us have so much weakness and failures. But yet, Lord, you wipe our sins away and you make us right because of your Son, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of us have a story to tell because all of us point to this greater and bigger story, which is you and you coming down to reach humanity and reconciling humanity to yourself. Lord, we look to you. We know that you love us, that you have sent your one and only Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him can have eternal life and not perish. Lord, help us to see Jesus as the only way, the truth, and the life. And help us to see him as our bread and as our living water, because only he can satisfy every longing that we have in our heart. Lord, we thank you, and we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, thank you. Let's invite the worship team to come up, and we'll finish off with worship.